They need to worry and betray time with urgencies, false and otherwise. Purely anxious and whiny, their souls won't really be at peace unless they can latch on to an established and proven worry. And having once found it, they assume facial expressions to fit and go with it, which is, you see, unhappiness. And all the time, it flies by them, and they know it, and that too worries them no end. And this week's opening quote comes from Jack Kerouac. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. What we really have in the world today, folks, is a culture of cover-up, a culture of abuse and a culture of cover-up. We have very much slipped into an abusive relationship with our governments, and because we have no transparency in our system, no transparency in the political system, no transparency in the media, no transparency in any of the systems that we use to define our social structure, and this has led to this basically shadow government and shadow system and this wicked witch behind the curtain, if you will, who is really pulling all the strings. And no, folks, I'm not saying there's actually a wicked witch behind the curtain, but there is, in fact, a shadow system that works behind the mechanism of the system that we see before our eyes, and we never really get to look at it, and we never get to find accountability for the people who we see within the system, those that are visible to us, because of the culture of cover-up and the lack of transparency in the system. And this has very much been done by design. Though the wheels are falling off now to a degree, there is still a great deal more to be exposed. There's a great deal more to do to expose it. I mean, as I said, the wheels are falling off. We're seeing the government's really being exposed for what they are. Everybody knows how corrupt these people are now. They know how corrupt the system is. But seeking remedy and finding remedy and finding a way out of this mess and finding a way to exact any accountability from the criminals within the system is still exceedingly difficult from the position we are currently in. And again, folks, it's because of this culture of cover-ups that we live in. And these cover-ups really do exist on all levels and in every aspect of our society. We find cover-ups in the political system, in the education system, in the religious systems, in every system that we have in our social structure. We find a culture of cover-up. Even in the media, try to find out where the news stories come from or where the real truth is, and you find that it's just a culture of cover-up. And where do the talking heads in the media even get their stories from? You know, when you see a media personality standing out the front of Parliament House delivering you a message, you assume that they actually know what they're talking about, but all they're really doing is reading what's been written on a piece of paper, which is something that's been handed to them by the press department from Parliament House, and they're simply reading what is handed to them. They've got no idea of what the truth of the story is, who investigated the story, where the information comes from, or anything. They're simply a talking head. And if they ever really try to find the truth and get to the bottom of things, if they ever really try to do any real investigative journalism in the world today, usually they find that they are restricted by legislation and all sorts of things that the government has put in place, again, because they are promoting a culture of cover-up and a lack of transparency in the actions of anything which may be seen as some type of institution. It doesn't matter, like I said, whether it's political, whether it's academic, whether it's religious, whether it's financial, whether it's military. It doesn't matter. Everything is always covered up, and people are always kept in the dark about the real workings and the real mechanism that lies behind our society. And it's for everything, folks. There's a real culture of secrecy in everything that we do. And this lack of transparency has allowed this shadow system to be built and is what allows it to continue. And it's what ties us up in red tape when we're trying to deal with it as well. You know, we have a system here on the surface that we can use to attempt to find remedy. But behind that are the real workings. And that system that is applied for us, the legal system that is applied to us and supplied for us, simply does not work when you get behind the scenes, because these people place themselves above the system because it is they who constructed the system to begin with. And many people can see this now. They can see how the system works. They can see how secreted everything is. And yet when people attempt to find remedy to any sort of a situation they find themselves in, they still attempt to use the system to do it. And many people, even when they are awake, they seem to fall back into the matrix at the slightest provocation, you know, the slightest impulse. They just fall back into the system. You know, people that are awake to the fact that the world is run by criminals and that the terrorist attacks that we're seeing all around the world are all staged by the government, and yet they still fall into the whole Islamophobic trap the way the government wants them to. They still blame what's happening in Europe on this Muslim influx when it's really not. It's a mass migration program that's been carried out and very well staged according to the Kalergi plan, which was released in the late 20s, I think, 1920s. But the thing is, there are many people who are awake that just seem to fall back into the system. And there's so much division and distraction and infighting in the independent media at the moment. There's been so much infiltration. And this is something that I would like to touch on a little bit later. But there's been so many things that have happened to distract and divide the response to the system that even though so many people can see the problem, that nothing is really getting done. And as I said, even though many people can see the problem, they seem to fall back into the matrix at the slightest impulse. I've got to wonder whether it's the fluoride, whether it's something electromagnetic, what it is that just draws people back into the system even when they are awake. You know, how can you know how the legal fiction works? How can you know that all of these attacks are staged by government? How can you know all the things we know and yet still blame ISIS or Al-Qaeda or buy into any of this Islamophobia that's being sold by the governments and the media? How can people fall back into this when they know what's going on? I mean, ISIS is essentially a mercenary army. It's Blackwater, Z, whatever they call themselves this week, Mossad, CIA, NSA. It's all of these people and whatever ragtag Arabs that they can get to join their cause. And any young Arabs who are joining the cause of ISIS and actually carrying out any of these attacks, if things such as the recent murder in Paris where the priest had his throat slit, if these people actually are young Muslims who've been attracted to ISIS, then they've been attracted to a Takfiri ideology, which is condemning them to a life in hell. So it isn't Islam anyway. I mean, the whole thing has been contrived and misconstrued. Anybody can see it if they look at it and see how these terrorist organizations have been constructed and who's funding them. And yet people know this, and yet when they see these attacks, they still think, oh my God, it's this terrorist network of Muslim extremists, when really it's not. It's our governments and the mercenaries that they're funding. So what is it that causes people to know all this and then simply fall back into the matrix? And what is it that stops people standing up and addressing things at the root core of the problem? You know, when they have a problem in their society, something that happens to them, some legislation that's rolled out by government or some issue they're having with the system, they never call it out for what it is. They always go down the parameters and little pathways that are given to them by the system when they know that it's corrupt and it's a stacked deck and it's not going to lead them to any type of remedy. So what is it that makes people see what's going on and yet still buy into the fiction and still superimpose the matrix over their reality? And of course, it's fear. And that's what makes people do it. People are afraid of standing in their personal power. They're afraid of taking the system on for what it is. They're afraid of being a human being. Because if you take the system on as a human being, you can very often find a remedy. But you have to realize that you are a human being and that you are dealing with other human beings. But people just forget that. They think they are their name, they think they are their birth certificate and all the stuff that we've learnt over the years about what this fictional legal system is. And people know it, and they know what they're dealing with, or very often they do, and yet when it comes to time to dealing with it, they step straight back into that fictional world and they attempt to find remedy through the pathways that are provided by the system, none of which are designed to ever afford them any type of real remedy at all. And again, folks, it is fear that causes people to do this. You know, our entire society is based on fear-based mind control. I mean, I've gone through this many times on the show, but it is. This is what money's about. It's what the whole scarcity system is about. You know, this constant state of scarcity that we're kept in, this keeps us in a constant state of fear because we're always afraid of what the future may bring if we fail to toe the line to any type of degree or step outside of the system to any type of degree where we're just completely free of it. And it's because by doing so, we are very often stepping into the unknown. You know, freedom is something that people want, but it's something they're unafraid to just reach out and grab because they are stepping into the unknown. You know, stepping outside of the system, quitting your job, just giving up your possessions and going on the road to see what the path of life will bring you is a huge step for people to take. And of course, if everybody did it, the whole system would collapse. We wouldn't have anything. So we do need people to work doing some things, but I think we could restructure it in a way whereby people were actually doing what they love to do and we were making things to actually last. I think that if we weren't so intent on supporting this economic model, we would have a very, very different world. And wouldn't it be a wonderful world if we had a place where people were free to explore all the possibilities of life and all the potential that they have, to really go out and find themselves and discover what their true loves are and what their true joys are and where their heart really lies and what type of a difference they can make if they discover what their hidden talents are and apply them to the world? Wouldn't it be a wonderful place if we could actually go and discover ourselves in this way? The thing is that we can, folks, if we choose to do it, if we choose to step outside of the system and just take that plunge, anything can happen. I mean, any possibility is open to you. My life has certainly been almost a charmed existence because I just stepped into the flow and it just seems to have worked for me. But I know a lot of other people who've done the same thing. Once they've taken the plunge, it's just worked. It may be difficult to take the plunge at first, but many people have just done it. It's like just stepping off the ride and seeing where you land in the forest. And many people have landed in very good places. And once they start making their way through the undergrowth, they find all sorts of friends, and they find that if their heart's in the right spot, the world really does open up for them. But of course, in saying all of that, I've got to appreciate that I do come from a rich country, a free country. I come from a country where I'm able to do that. There are many people born in many situations where they are simply not able to step into the flow. Stepping into the flow means often stepping into a very dangerous situation for some people in some of the more war-torn or impoverished countries in the world. So it's not easy for everybody, but having said that, it has worked for me, and I'm sure it will work for a lot of other people in Western countries if they choose to do so. But it's been an interesting thing, folks. This whole search for truth, this whole quest for freedom has been an interesting thing. But it's also been very revealing in many ways, looking at a lot of the independent media, looking at a lot of the voices that are out there making noise about the system. It's hard to see what the plans of many of these people are. A lot of what we see in the independent media is simply a bashing of Western governments and a bashing of Western lifestyle. And we've got to be careful that we're not doing that because it isn't about bashing the West. I mean, much of the independent media seems to work solely to bring about discontent in the minds of the people so that they are angry and upset with their government and almost to create movements which will serve to destabilize the Western world and cause the police state to come online. And think about it, folks. A lot of the people that are speaking out against the government and saying all these hateful things about the government, what would the world look like if the governments were just to collapse, if there was a revolution and the governments were to be pulled down from power? You'd be left with a power vacuum and you'd have countries such as China and Russia move in to mop up the mess. It's not about bashing the West and it's not about overthrowing the governments in anything that we do, folks. What it's about is identifying things for what they are and establishing some form of accountability so we can change the direction the ship of state is sailing. It's about identifying where all these wars and all this destruction and terrorism is coming from. You know, it's all a result of the financial system and the governments that support this financial system. Ultimately, that's the key to the whole thing, folks. Because all wars are fought over a belief of scarcity, usually that all through religious differences, and most of these religious differences have been whipped up by politicians to begin with. A lot of these religions got on fine. I mean, sure, there's been bloodshed throughout history, but I think we're a little bit more intelligent now. We can probably get past all that. If we can clear our minds of all this stuff we're being fed by the media and stop looking for someone to blame in this whole mess and realize that it's us who holds the system up. And as soon as we choose to step away from it, we can make a difference. And in the dialogue and the information that we offer people to help them see that the problem is not that the West is evil. The problem is that certain elements within Western governments are subservient to financial interests and political interests that may not have the best interests of the world at heart, ideologies such as Zionism. And this is what is causing the problems. And all we really need is accountability for the people that exist within the system now. But before we can get there, we need to identify that these crimes are being committed and start calling things for what they are. You know, we could have a global strike and we could establish a point in time where we demand accountability for certain individuals and we demand transparency in the system. And we could work to make sure that is implemented. And we could do it quite peacefully. And I'm sure there are going to be people that complain about it, people that won't go quietly, but I think we could make a transition to an honest and transparent system quite effectively and quite peacefully, considering what we're facing. It's just having the right priorities and looking at things in the correct way and realizing that we can't just attack the West and belittle our own governments and do all this stuff to create chaos and distrust in our own environments. What we have to do is identify the fact that there is a criminal element within our government and that steps need to be taken to rectify it. And if we approach it intelligently, then we can find a way through it. And this is what I've been attempting to do with people for the whole time, folks. This is the sort of things I've been suggesting. I mean, there are people who say if you don't want to bring the whole system down and go and arrest them all and rah, rah, rah straight away and establish anarchy tomorrow, then you're part of the problem. And this is extremist thinking. It's extremist ideology. There's not a lot of people in the world that are going to be able to deal with anarchy tomorrow. So you need to lead people back to a point of self-governance, a point where they are responsible enough for themselves that they can govern themselves. And this needs a mass re-education of just about everybody. So you've got to be realistic when looking at this system and looking at ways through this mess. I mean, what we need to do right now is stop all these wars, stop all this GM food, stop all these vaccines, all these poisons being sprayed in the sky, and establish some sort of accountability. That's what we need to start with. And then we can begin looking at better ways to do things. But we need to find a way to stop things in their tracks right now before things get any worse and identify the fact that it's politicians who have been in abuse of the office they hold for the whole time who have caused these problems. You know, we can blame ourselves. Sure, we've gone along with it. We've complied. We've bought all the stuff they've sold us and we've complied with the system. So yeah, we're a big part of the problem. But a lot of people are not educated enough in reality to really be able to have blame shifted onto them. Ultimately, these people have been programmed and trained to do what they do. So the blame really does lay squarely on those who coordinate and run the system, and that is governments. Ultimately, that's where the blame has to lie and that's where accountability has to be sought. But we can't be squeamish about it and we can't be politically correct about it. We've got to call things for what they are. But again, it's a fine line between calling the governments out as criminals and simply bashing the West. Because the West has done a lot of good things, folks. You can't bash the West. Without the West, we wouldn't have the internet. We wouldn't have all this information we've got now. We wouldn't have a lot of great stuff if it wasn't for Western culture. I love Western culture. I come from the West. But I like all culture and I like to see all cultures preserved. I enjoy cultures from all countries. And for all my support of Gaza and Palestine and all the way I'm constantly speaking out against Islamophobia, I'm not Islamic. I don't support Islam. I don't support any religion. I think all religions are demented. And I'm sorry for my Muslim friends, but I do. I don't agree with any religion at all. And I think religion has got a lot to answer for. But by the same breath, I'm not going to see these people be painted as the boogeyman when it's so obvious that they're not. And it's so obvious that all of these terror attacks are being directed by Zionist forces and that the blame is being shifted towards Islam and shifted towards Muslim countries in order to extend and increase the fake war on terror, and in order to lock our stand into a police state, in order to spread more fear, spread more terrorism, and spread more control for the government. And that's what all this Islamophobia is about. And it's also being used to hide the fact that Gaza holds such a key for the salvation of mankind, because no one will look. No one will think about saving the children in Gaza. No one will think about the key that Palestine holds for the rest of the world by identifying most global politicians as war criminals and providing the power, the legal power, to have these people arrested. No one will look at it because they think Gaza is simply a den of Muslim terrorists, when nothing could be further from the truth. It's an impoverished population of children, and a population that is 35% Christian, by the way, as well. So it's not what people think, but people won't look at Gaza and they won't see the legal opportunity it provides for the world because they're scared of Muslims. And that's a lot of what this whole fake war on terror has been about as well. And the whole thing is so contrived, folks, and it's so obviously contrived, it just amazes me that people can't see it. You know, when we speak out against Western nations the way we do, it's the politicians, folks. It's the politicians that are the problem and the banking cartels that they're subservient to. It's not the West itself. I mean, there's a lot of good things in Western ideology. There's a lot of good things that the West has brought to the world. The problem is that the people in the West have been distracted by trinkets and television and movies and Pokemon and all the stuff that they've got to play with, and they're just distracted. They're too distracted to look around. A lot of people voting in the political systems in Western countries are too distracted to even know what the political systems are all about and what the real party ideologies are. You know, they just get what they're fed by the media and they vote which way they think is best, and then they continue on with their job and do what they can to put food on the table for their families. And that's the societies we've got. So you can't blame the West. And like I said, it's not about bringing the West down and belittling our countries and turning against our own creed. It's about establishing some accountability, establishing some sanity, because we just don't have any sanity in our system. It is the fact that the people are so impoverished by the government, the fact that the people are enslaved to this ridiculous monetary system that the governments perpetuate, the fact that there's all these wars going on. You know, we need to ban war. We need to just stop participating in war. And we need to stop supporting any of these groups that are supporting any of this nefarious activity. But where are they getting all their weapons from? I mean, that's the problem, folks. It all gets funneled in there from Western governments. But then who controls Western governments? It's all run by Israeli foreign policy, the whole lot. Look at the United States. The whole country is run by Israeli foreign policy. You've got to sign the APEC pledge before you can even get funding for office in the United States. And all of the money and the weapons in the United States all get funneled into the Middle East to fight Israel's wars for them. And Israel simply can't get along with any of its neighbors. It's been there fighting and battling and destabilizing the region ever since they illegally stole the land. And people may think, oh, you're just a Jew hater or an Israeli basher, but I'm not, and it's true. This is what has happened since the state of Israel was formed. It's been nothing but war, it's been nothing but terrorism, it's been nothing but global instability, a massive increase in slave trading, the global pornography trade, human trafficking, everything. There are so many things that are coming out of that state. You know, they're having a real hard time at the moment trying to cover up the fact that there is so much child prostitution in Israel, and the authorities simply aren't doing anything about it. Even the United Nations, which is a disgusting, disgraceful entity, which doesn't do anything sane at all, but even they, in an attempt to regain face with the rest of the world, have had to stand up and sort of scold Israel a little bit for not doing something about the amount of child prostitution that happens within the borders of Israel. So this is the sort of country that it is, folks, and the genocide that it carries out against the Palestinian people. And when you see the extraordinary amount of hold and the extraordinarily disproportionate influence that Israel and the Jewish ideology has over all Western governments, then you can see where the problem comes from. And it's not Jew bashing, folks. It's just identifying the problem for what it is and not being too scared to name it. You know, religion and politics should never mix, regardless of the faith, and it is the extraordinary and disproportionate amount of control the Jewish ideology has over the political world that has caused so many of the problems that we see in the world today. And if you want to stop all these wars, stop funding Israel and stop pouring weapons into the area and remove all of the foreign influence in Western governments, and you're going to see these wars stop pretty quickly. And look, I believe we can do it, folks. I really believe we can stop funding all these areas, and I think we can achieve freedom in the world. I really do. I really believe in the human race's ability to do it, but sometimes I wonder. I really do. I wonder if the human race wants to be free. I wonder if the human race even deserves to be free sometimes. I mean, sometimes it does get to me. I can look at it both ways, and sometimes I have to step back objectively and look at this species and just shake my head in disbelief and wonder how we ever let things get so bad and why we simply don't stand up and fix things. Why we are so afraid of calling things out for what they are and of taking the bull by the horns. And really, it's up to the independent media to do this, I think. It's up to the people in the independent media who are speaking out to start really looking at things from a more positive and balanced way. Stop simply bashing the West and realizing it's the criminals within the system that we're concerned about. It's not really the West itself. It's just the mechanism that the West has become, the way the West is being puppeteered by banking interests that are doing nefarious things around the globe. We've got to really look at things a little bit more objectively and from a little bit more balanced way and realize that we are on the knife edge at the moment, and the independent media and those voices who are speaking out are really leading the way. They're out on the front line, and there's a certain responsibility that comes with that. And it's very important that people keep a balanced approach and be aware of what the type of future is that they are attempting to create, what sort of future it is they are promoting. You don't want to just bash the West and bring down Western governments, folks, because the alternative is not going to look very pretty. What you need to do is establish some form of accountability and find some mechanism that will help lead mankind back to a point of safety so we can regroup. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. I'll leave it there for now, and we're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know, in the 8 years or so since I began surviving the Matrix, I've certainly seen some changes in the world. When I began the show back in 2008, or actually 2009, the show began proper. But when I began the show, I used to keep the message very positive, and I fully expected to see a great awakening happen on this world. I thought that the knowledge that I was sharing with people and the knowledge that many other people were sharing with the world was enough to help them see how urgent the situation we are facing really is and to compel them into action. I very much encouraged people to speak out themselves and to encourage and empower their neighbours to get involved in their communities, and I still urge people to do those things. But since I began this show, we've seen an enormous amount of infiltration into the independent media. We've seen an enormous amount of infighting, an enormous amount of people pushing their own agendas, pushing their own truths, regardless of how true these truths may actually be. It seems very obvious there have been a number of agents that have infiltrated their way into the media, and they have kind of remolded it and reshaped the way people think and the way people operate within the independent media. They've spread distrust and pitted people against each other, and they've also created a great deal of noise so that people simply don't know in which direction to look. And now, due to the operations and the new mindset that's been injected into the movement by people who I suspect are agents, what we see is that in many ways, rather than a group of cooperative and empowered people working together to make change, the independent media has become something of a popularity contest, whereby everybody wants to be the new big thing and get lots of views on their videos or sell their books or whatever, and people seem to have forgotten what the real issue is that we all began the independent media for, and that issue was the establishment of freedom for mankind, the first time we've ever had the opportunity for freedom. And that was always the main focus. That was the main motivation. That was the reason for people to speak out. But as I said, now it's become something very different. It's become a mechanism whereby people can push their own agenda, push their own truth, sell their books, do their fundraisers or whatever. But very little of it now seems to be directed towards empowering the people to make a difference on the ground in the community that they live in, or to stand up against the system in some type of effective way. Much of the independent media is simply pushing the next chapter of their agenda on the people every day or every week and hoping for more popularity. And many seem to have missed the point entirely and forgotten what the original plan was, which was, as I said, freedom. Many fail to see that it doesn't matter how popular they get. If the human race does not establish freedom and establish it quite soon, then it won't matter how popular they are, because they simply won't have a free society to be popular in. And that's what it's all about, folks. It's about establishing freedom. And that indeed has been my motivation in every single thing that I've done right since the beginning. My entire motivation has been to empower people into realizing that they can be free if they choose to be that way. If they choose to step into the power that they have, they can establish freedom. But we need all of the people to step into that power and to do it for themselves. And look, not even all of the people. We just need a percentage of people to actually realize the power that they have and stand up and step into the freedom that they deserve. But sometimes I wonder if people really want it. Sometimes I wonder if people are really prepared for freedom, or if they truly do want to see a life where government didn't control their every move. You know, I think a lot of people talk about it, and I think a lot of people jump on the bandwagon because it's something trendy, being a conspiracy theorist or whatever. But when I look at it, I don't know how many people are really prepared for freedom. I don't know how many people are really prepared to govern themselves. I don't know how many people even know what freedom looks like. You know, how many people who speak out against this system and speak out against this government or do any of the things they do in the independent media actually have an idea of what the world may look like without government there? I mean, I can imagine it, but I can also see that we need some sort of infrastructure management to lead us back through this transition. We just need some sort of accountability for those who are in government now. But when I look at the independent media and I look at the amount of infighting and I look at the amount of distractions, all these people arguing about the shape of the earth, arguing about the Mandela effect, arguing about every single thing they can think of. I'll pick up one point of your radio show and disregard everything else because one point of it didn't sit well with their particular political or social views. And they disregard everything and they tie people up in little arguments about finer points and little things to worry about which are completely and utterly irrelevant. And that's the problem. Most people spend their life worrying about things and finding things to worry about and trolling other people's posts and picking up on tiny points of what they say so they can tie people up in argument for hours on end because they simply don't want to face their own lives. And it just makes me wonder, what is it all for? Is the human race even ready to experience freedom? Because after all the years that I've been doing this, and as I said, folks, I fully expected people to simply jump at the chance to be empowered and simply jump at the chance to address the situation that we face and to hold these criminals accountable. But all people really want to do is have someone else do it for them. Even looking at the independent media, there's so many people who just look at the independent media and they expect some savior to arise out of the independent media. They don't believe that they have to do anything on the ground themselves to participate in making any real change happen. They're quite prepared to give their money away to someone else or to sign up for whatever project someone's organizing or to join some movement like the Zeitgeist movement or whatever and have them make the change for them. I'll just join the movement, you'll make the change, and you'll send me the newsletter when it's all done. And that seems to be the type of attitude that people have. And the pure ego that I see in the independent media as well is something that really is a concern. And again, it makes me wonder, how much are people learning? I mean, sure, there are still a lot of good personalities and a lot of good people in the independent media that are bringing a lot of good information to people. But, you know, the whole freedom, truth, movement, whatever you want to call it, the whole thing seems to have become infected with ego and infighting and misdirection. I mean, we've got personalities within the independent media that have got whole sections of their website where they've got posts and pages of hatred towards everybody that they disagree with. Imagine if we actually did establish freedom now, you'd have half of the independent media wanting to go out and lynch the other half of the independent media. I mean, what sort of unity is it? What sort of mentality is it? What sort of objectives are these people aiming for in their so-called quest for freedom? Why all this hatred at everybody who disagrees with their line of thinking or their line of research? Why all this removal of focus from the real problems, this disassociation from reality and this distraction from the real issues and the real problems that we're facing and the real solutions to the problems that we're facing? You know, the problem, as always, is that people look at the system, they look at the government, they look at all the problems that we face, and they feel powerless to really do anything about it. As much as they speak out against it, as much as they do radio shows and make a lot of noise about it, they don't really see any real change, and they get frustrated, and so they lash out at all the people around them. They lash out at other people in the independent media. They lash out at anybody they disagree with. And of course, you've got to agree with everybody on every single point they make. And if you don't agree with every single point they make, then they label you controlled opposition, because that is the trendy thing to do these days. And it's just gotten ridiculous. It really has. The amount of infighting and the amount of competitiveness in a movement which should be cooperative rather than competitive is just mind-boggling. It's gotten worse and worse in the last 18 months to 2 years, and in the last 18 months to 2 years, the control grid has just ramped itself up to a ridiculous degree. And as much as we are seeing people waking up all around the world, there is so much division and so much infighting in the movement now, more than there ever has been. And it just makes me wonder if we are ever going to find our way out of this mess, if we are ever going to grow into our intelligence as a species and stand up and address this situation with the clarity that it needs to be addressed. And I quite readily admit that it's not easy sometimes. I mean, I'm always saying that people should stand up, they should step into the flow, they should empower their neighbours, but sometimes I admit it's not easy. And it's not easy because what we are dealing with in this world is other people. And people truly are the most fickle of creatures. They're quite happy to forget any good you've done, to pick you up on any point they may dislike. They're quite prepared to discard their friends for the love of the mighty dollar. And they're quite prepared to argue amongst themselves over the finest of details and simply allow a slavery system to be built around them while they are busy indulging in these arguments, which are nothing more than tit for tat to satisfy their own egos. And as much as I love people and as much as I love life, sometimes I truly have to wonder whether the human race as a whole is even worth saving. And that may be a horrible thing to think and a horrible thing to say and a very defeatist way to feel, or it may seem like a defeatist way to feel, but sometimes you just have to look at things objectively and ask the question. I mean, is the effort really worth it? Because what is the point of attempting to save a species that refuses to save itself, that refuses to take any responsibility for itself? Now, when you meet people every day who refuse to take responsibility for their own actions, who view everybody around them as a commodity, who spend their life in fundraisers and doing what they can to profit from the people around them and build their own little castles in the sand, it really does make you wonder if there is any good in this species as a whole. I mean, sure, there are a vast array of positive qualities and indeed goodness to be found in many people, but as a whole, when we look at what this species has done to this world, to this environment, and to each other, to the animals, to everything, one truly must question whether this species is worth saving at all. And even with what I do, sometimes I just wonder, why should I bother? Why do I bother? But then it gets to a point, of course, where, well, what else am I going to do? How can I know the things that I know and not speak out? How can I know the things that I know and just disappear and go and live in the forest and expect to have any type of meaningful or happy existence, knowing what's coming down the pike and knowing that I refuse to do anything about it? But then the question becomes, of course, what can I do about it? What can I, as a single individual, do about this situation? And, of course, there's little more than what I'm doing now. Speaking out against it, traveling around the world and speaking to as many people as possible, getting involved in as much on-the-ground frontline activism as possible, and doing what I can to make a difference. But even in doing that, is it making a difference? Is there a point to it? Are we going to see any real change come about due to my actions, or should I just go and live in the forest? Because ultimately there isn't a great deal that one person can do if they are limited in their actions in as much as they are limited to acting alone. You know, there have been many great things and great ideas that have been born from the spark of an idea in a single mind, but these things have taken off and other people have gotten involved. And if other people don't get involved, well, the ideas would never have come to being. And freedom is an idea that is somewhere there in everybody's mind. But so many people don't know what it looks like. And so many people are scared to death of the process that they may have to go through in order to establish freedom. And again, it comes back to fear. So that is the real problem. People are unable to step through the fear of stepping away from the nanny state and calling things out for what they are. And quite often they're scared of doing it because they simply don't know what the world would look like without the nanny state. They don't know what their life would be like if they didn't have to get up and go to work and collect paper or digital credits every day. You know, living here in the jungle in Peru, where I am at the moment, things sometimes become very clear. You know, the world out there, the matrix, seems like another world in another dimension. It seems so far away from my reality at the moment, but I know that it's still there, and I know that when I step out of the jungle, I have to step back into that world. And like I said, folks, it's important for people to look at that world with an objective eye. Those who are speaking out against the system, those that are bashing the West, as it were, really need to be careful of what they're doing and what sort of future they are attempting to usher in. Because if they were to simply have the people rise up in mass and overthrow their governments, what would that world look like? What would your future look like from that day forth if the government was simply gone tomorrow? And what would we have in its place? What would we have? A military dictatorship? Would we have a military officer in charge? Will we have whichever gang was the strongest gang in charge? Will we have China or Russia or some other country simply move in and take over? What would the future look like? You know, it's one thing to speak out against a politician, to speak out against this criminal system and to identify what the war on terror is and to identify what's really being done to Europe, what's really being done to all of our countries. But it's another thing to simply bash the West and think that all of the problems come because the West exists, because that is simply not true. And again, folks, we need to be careful of what we're doing. You know, what we need is accountability. We need to establish some sort of freedom for humanity, but not the sort of freedom that is just chaos. We need some sort of system to manage our infrastructure for us so that people can still do the things they love to do. But we need to have some sort of transparency, and we need to, like I said, stop all of these wars. You know, whatever it takes to stop the wars and stop the terrorism, and you're only going to stop the terrorism when you stop the wars. Like I said, even if there are young men that are carrying out some of these events, they're doing so because we're bombing and destroying all of these countries. I mean, look at the state of every single country that we have gone into and imposed democracy upon them. And look at Iraq, look at Libya, look at Syria, look at what has happened to these places when we went and got involved. Look what we did to Iran back in the 1950s, you know, when the CIA staged that coup and imposed the Shah simply because they wanted to maintain control of British oil. I mean, the whole thing has been a scam from day one, folks. And we can fix things. We really can. We can fix this world very quickly if we just put down all our stuff and stop blaming any type of one system like the Western system. I mean, sure, and Zionism, it's a problem, but it's not the whole problem. Now, the real problem is our going along with all this stuff, folks. And once we stop pointing the finger and stop blaming everybody and realize that we are the ones that hold this up and we can bring it down by simply refusing to comply with it, then we're going to get somewhere. But we can change the world, folks. We are on the verge of doing so. I really believe that we can. You know, and sometimes I do get depressed. I do wonder whether the human race is really worth saving because, like I said, I've been doing this for like 8 years just here on air. Before that, I've been doing it for my entire life. I've been speaking out against this system in some way or another. Perhaps not in the most constructive of ways. I mean, my life was a bit of a train wreck for the first 30 years. But hey, that's what you get. That's what life is about. It's about discovery. And I guess I discovered things a little late. But we do what we can anyway, and we do what we can to try to make amends for those things that we have done and those train wrecks that we were when we were younger. But sure, I do get depressed sometimes. I get despondent sometimes. Sometimes I get just damn frustrated at the fact that people aren't waking up. I get frustrated at the personal attacks. I get frustrated at people telling me that I'm controlled opposition simply because I disagree with some of the points they make when I simply have my own research. I just have my own way of looking at things. And I just cannot understand what all this animosity is about, what all these attacks are about, what all of the infighting is about when we all are facing a common foe, a common enemy, a common system, and we all have a common goal, and that is freedom. And I just look at it and I think, what is wrong with this movement? What is wrong with these people that they can't step back from their egos and realize that there's a way forward if we can just put down all of our stuff with each other? This isn't a popularity contest. It isn't a clash of egos. It isn't anyone saying my research is better than anybody else's research and I have all the answers to the problem. And anybody who thinks that is a fool. They truly are. Because nobody really knows what's going on in this world to any confirmable degree, folks. Not when it comes to really pointing the finger at what's actually going on and who the controlling hand is. And we're not going to be able to establish that. We're not going to be able to establish where we are, what our place in the universe is, what our place in the entire system of creation is, until we've established freedom. And all the infighting does is prevent us from achieving that one objective. And that is the only thing that we ever need. Because once we get that, everything else comes by default. So yeah, I can look at it all, and I can ask the question, why do we do it? Why do we keep fighting? Why can't we see that which is so obviously in front of our faces? And if we are so blind that we can't see this, then are we really worth saving? And should I really be bothering to put all the effort into it that I am? I really have to ask the question sometimes, folks. I mean, as much as I love people and I love life and I love this reality, sometimes it really does keep me up at night. You know, what I've found to be something that's quite disturbing in the entire independent media is how everybody pretends to be an authority on everything. No one's ever prepared to say, well, I simply don't know what's going on with that. No one's ever prepared to admit they were wrong. No one's prepared to admit that what they're actually offering their listeners is simply a perspective. It's their perspective based on the information that they've looked at and what they've made of that information, how they've put it all together, what dots they've connected, and the view that they have come to based on that research. And that's what it is. It's just a perspective. And that's what everybody is offering everybody else, is their perspective. And there are so many people who are simply afraid to ever appear human in their research. Everybody wants to appear like they are an authority and an expert in their field, whatever that field may be. When who is an expert in life, folks? And really, life is the field that we are all dabbling in. This is the field that we are talking about. This is what we are trying to establish, is true life and freedom for that life which does exist. And people are so locked into their own egos that they are afraid to really look at themselves objectively and look at their own research objectively. They're afraid to be wrong and they're afraid to change their minds because of what the public may think if they appear to have changed their mind on an issue. And where do you find any growth in that, folks, really? I mean, I'm sure that if you listen to my shows back from 2008, I'm saying completely different things to what I did back in 2008. Well, not everything. I mean, and a lot of my spiritual concepts and things are the same, but things have shifted, folks. Of course they have, because that is called growth. And anybody who thinks the same now as what they did 10 years ago simply isn't growing. But people have to be prepared to admit when things are flawed and when things are wrong, when they get things a little askew, and they've got to be prepared to put their belief systems aside and allow themselves to grow. Now, like I've often said, folks, belief is the enemy of knowledge, and life is a path to knowledge. And knowledge is something that unfolds every step of the way. And as soon as you lock yourself into a belief, then you've left that path, because now you are only going to accept that information which reinforces your belief. And people need to be open. They need to keep their minds open and keep pushing forward and keep finding that little crack in the shell and that little pathway that leads to the light of freedom, the light of enlightenment, the light of knowledge, the light of who they are. But never forget that it's about the path. It's about the path, and it's about the growth that you achieve along the way, and it's about what you do with the knowledge that you get and how you apply yourselves to the situations that you are confronted with. That is what's going to bring about change. And it's knowing yourself and knowing the power that you have, knowing that you have just as much value as anybody else. There is no one who is any better than you, and there is no one who is of any less worth than you as well. We are all in this together, folks, and we all have equal value and equal potential for creative ideas that may just bring about change and may just move the direction that we're going in and may just change the direction the ship of state is sailing. You know, we are on a knife edge, folks, and we are about to see some change. It's just what that change is going to be. That's the question. And that is going to come down to us and how we choose to participate and how we choose to apply ourselves to this situation. But we've got to stop all the infighting. We really do. We've got to stop all the criticism, all the infighting, all the judgment of each other, and realize that we're all facing a common enemy. We're all facing a common foe. We all have a common goal. And if we can put down our stuff with each other and respect each other enough to just look away from our rabbit holes for the moment and turn our eyes forward and see what's really coming down the pipe and see what is going on around us and see the way we can simply stop complying with this system and shift things in a single day if we really want to. When we can see that, then we will make a difference, folks. And now's the time that we can do it. You know, I do believe that we can. You know, as I said, sometimes I get depressed. Sometimes I just think I should give up because there's no point, because this species simply will not save itself. But then I think, well, we do have an opportunity and we do have a chance. And like I said, well, what else am I going to do? How can I know the things that I know and not keep up the fight? How can I not keep pushing towards a better world when I know that if we don't push towards a better world, then we're going to be led down the garden path straight into hell, and that's where we're going. But things can change if we choose to get involved, folks, and that's why I keep going. And I guess I will continue to keep going. I'll probably keep going until the wheels fall off, no matter how much I wish to do other things. But I hope I don't have to do it forever. I hope there is a time when I can just put down this torch and just go and live in the forest, maybe find a partner and relax a little bit and enjoy life the way other people do. That would be a wonderful thing. I am getting tired of the battle, folks. I am getting tired of having to do the shows all the time. And it is good to see a lot of young people beginning to pick up the torch, but it's just the direction that many people seem to be being led is the concern. There's just so much noise out there now, and so many people don't know which way to go, who to trust. They don't know what the real truth is, and that is a concern. But as I said, at least it is good to see some young people picking up the torch. But I think we're at the end of the show here, folks. I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you to anybody who's ever contributed to the Crow House. Thank you to anybody who signed up to the Patreon account to keep the show going. That is really wonderful of those who've done so. And it is the only thing that keeps me going these days, folks. So please, if you can afford a few dollars, please do think about subscribing to the Patreon account. And I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. And thank you for putting up with what has been quite a personal show today. In Lakesh, my friends, in Lakesh.